The Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Beis Amud Beis, in explaining the Braisa that discusses the application of the Halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, the Rosh Chodesh Nissan is when it's considered a new year as far as the number of years the king is in rule, as the Gemara explained on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, it's relevant l'shtaris, it's relevant regarding dating shtaris to determine, to avoid a problem of a shtari choiv hamugdom. And the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa said, Meis ba'adar, if the first king died in Adar, v'amet achet tachta v'nissan, and the new king was only appointed in Nisan, minen harishayinu l'rishin, the halacha is that the first year is counted for the first king, hashni l'sheni, and the second year is counted for the second king. Parenthetically, there's a very interesting question that I saw that the Aruch Ner poses on such a circumstance. He asks, the first king died during the first year, he died during Adar. The second king was not appointed on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, but he was appointed sometime in the second year. So ask the Aruch Ner, shtaris, documents that are written during that period, what is the halacha? So certainly any document that's written until Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we could write into the document that this is whatever year it is for the first king, because as the Gemara has said a number of times in our sugya, Yom Echad B'Shana Chashav Shana, and certainly the first king was a king for some amount of time during the first year. So even though he unfortunately did not make it for the entire first year, he was a king during that year, and any shtar written during that year, even if it's after he passed away, can be written to his name. However, the second king, who's only appointed sometime during the next year, so after he's appointed, certainly any shtar written after his appointment will be written that this is the first year of his monarchy. But what will be the halacha of a shtar that's written from Rosh Chodesh Nissan of this new year until the new king is appointed? We can't consider it a year of the first king, because the first king has not been a king even for one day of this year. We can't yet write the second king. He hasn't been appointed yet. So the Paiskim say that such a shtar we write the date. The date of the year, the month, and the date. And it's very understandable, because as we discussed this year, we discuss in this Gemara the importance of the date of the shtar, and Rashi, the first Rashi of the Masechta, says that the reason this was instituted was because of Shalom Malchus. And Tosfos right away asked the question. Tosfos says, as we learn in our sugyas, the Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Yisrael. L'Malchei Umas Ha'olam, as we learn in the next daf and daf gimel, Rosh Hashanah, their new year begins on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So, ask Tosfos, yes, when we date a shtar, L'Malchei Umas Ha'olam, we date it with Rosh Chodesh Tishrei because of Shalom Malchus. But when we date a shtar for Malchei Yisrael, it's not because of Shalom Malchus. So why is Rashi, when he explains the din of the Mishnah, which speaks about Rosh Chodesh Nissan, introduce the concept of Shalom Malchus? So the Pnei Yeshua learns with an approach that the truth is that dating of Shtaris began with Malchei Umas Olam. And once it began with Malchei Umas Olam, and by Malchei Umas Olam, truly the reason for dating the Shtar is because of Shalom Malchus. Once it was expanded that even Shtaris that are dated with Malchei Yisrael, it's also connected to the concept of Shalom Malchus. That's how the Pnei Yeshua answers Tosef's question on Rashi. But perhaps we could give a different answer. Because the question is, if our Mishnah and the Gemara speak about dating Shtaris, Lemlochim for the kings, Malchei Yisrael, Malchei Umas Olam, why don't we find that nowadays, when we date a Shtar, that we should write Lemlochim? The answer is what Rashi is giving us. Rashi himself is bothered with this question. Rashi is bothered as we begin the Masechta and spend so much time in understanding that Shtaris are dated Lemlochim. So what happened? Why don't we find that our Shtaris are dated Lemlochim? So Rashi says the only time you need to date Shtaris Lemlochim is when there is a concern of Shalom Malchus. But nowadays, where there is no concern of Shalom Malchus, the President of America doesn't really care if when we date a document, we indicate it's how many years into his presidency, so this entire din falls away. So certainly, in the case that the Aruch Haner discusses, where there is no king, it's Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the old king died last year, the new king has not yet been appointed, so there's no concern for Shalom Malchus, and since there's no concern for Shalom Malchus, the halacha is that we'll date it with the date, not with the date of the kingdom. But getting back to our Gemara, so the Braisa says, "Meis ba'odor ve'omen achatachta benissen, moinim harishon alarishon." The first year is counted for the first king, hashni, and the second year is counted for the second king. Ask the Gemara Pshita. What's the Braisa telling us that we don't know? Answers the Gemara, Loi Tzricha. The Braisa is referring to situation, the Imno Lema Odor, that the new king was already appointed in Adar, and not only was he appointed in Adar, but he's also a Melech Memelech. So he has a very strong candidacy. He was appointed already, he's a Yoirish. So I would think, Ma'adu Tema, that even though he wasn't actually officially installed until next year, since, as Rashi explains, he has these two positive points, he was already appointed, he is a Melech ben Melech, Kamash Malon, than not. And as the Rishonim explain, this Braisa is really a continuation of the previous Braisa. It's really one Braisa. And the previous Braisa tells us that just because you were appointed doesn't mean that you're considered the king. And this Braisa takes the concept even one step further. That not only if you were appointed, and not only if you were Melech ben Melech, until you're officially the king, until you were actually installed, you're not considered the Melech. And as the Mefarshim point out, so why didn't the Braisa just tell us this then? That even if you have two things working in your favor, that you're a Melech ben Melech, and that you were already appointed, it's still not enough to make you king. And certainly if you only have one positive factor, you should not be considered king. So Mefarshim explained, because if the Braisa would have only said one Chiddush, we would have only thought that the Braisa is teaching us the smaller Chiddush, that only if you were appointed alone are you not yet king. But when you have these two positive factors in place, maybe you ought to be considered king. Kamash Malan, that even under these circumstances, you're not considered king. So the Mefarshim here discuss this halacha. Because actually, the Gemara, a Masechta Chorius, Staff Yud Aleph on the base, says that a Melech by Melech, we know the halacha is, that when a king is appointed, he needs to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. But if somebody's a Melech by Melech, if there was no dispute over his appointment, there is no need to anoint him with the Shemen HaMishcha. So we see from here that a Melech by Melech is very close to being a king. So that's why, still teaches us the Gemara, that no, until he was actually officially appointed, he's not considered the Melech. And that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, that even though he has all of these things working in his favor, he's not considered a Melech until both of those things. The Mashah takes a different approach. The Mashah's approach, as the Sfasemis explains the Mashah, is just the opposite. That a Melech by Melech, since there was no back and forth in his appointment, he, so to speak, got it automatically because he's a son of the previous king. So that's why I would say that he's not really a Melech. There was no real back and forth, no real election to make him the king. Still teaches us the Gemara that no, he is. So that's why this part of the Braisa is the smaller Chiddush. So actually, if we analyze the Pashat, the Pshat in Rashi versus the Pshat the Mashah offers in Rashi, we have here a very fundamental machloikis, which will be the topic of our shiur. Does a Melech ben Melech get the job automatically, or does the Melech ben Melech go through a process? It seems that Rashi's Pshat is that the Melech ben Melech has to go through a process. Doesn't have to go through. The Melech ben Melech has to go through a process. Rashah, however, seems to learn that a Melech ben Melech doesn't go through a process. And actually, what is the basis of the machloikis of Rashi and the two pshatim in Rashi, the Pasha Pshat and Rashi and the Mashah's Pshat and Rashi? It actually connects to another question that the Achroinim ask. They ask, you know, if a Melech ben Melech is such a strong candidate, why indeed, ask the Achroinim, is the halacha that until he's officially installed, he's not considered Melech? Maybe he should be considered Melech as soon as they decide that he should be the king. So there are a number of terutzim given to this question. One terutz offered to this question is the Noid of Yehuda. The Noid of Yehuda says, indeed, a Melech, and very much in line with the way the Sfas Emes understands the Mashah, a Melech by Melech becomes king quite easily, says the Noid of Yehuda. Just for this specific halacha, for halacha that we're discussing in our shiurim, that for dating of the shtar, the whole concept of dating of the shtar, as we explained earlier, is a special takana de rabbanon, and the takana de rabbanon, that the dating of the shtar goes according to the year that the king, is only if you were actually installed. Even though maybe by right he became melech almost automatically as soon as his father passed away. The Sefer Karban Reishis gives a different explanation. The Sefer Karban Reishis wants to differentiate between Malchei Beis David and Malchei Umas and Malchei Yisrael. And he says that by Malchei Beis David, indeed, a king becomes king almost automatically. Versus by Malchei Yisrael, there, the king, just because you're the king's son, doesn't give you that appointment. And actually, there's a very nice raya to this. we find that Rechavim, who was the son of Shlomo HaMelech, was Shlomo HaMelech's successor. His mother wasn't even Jewish. His mother was Nama HaMoinis. We don't find that he was such a great individual. And we know that the Gemara says, Mikarev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech, says the Gemara, Mufcha Shebachecha. He has to be somebody who excels. So how did he become king? Perhaps the answer is that they were talking about Malchei Beis David. And when we speak about Malchei Beis David, there the halacha is that it goes, so to speak, automatically. Malchei Yisrael, he has to be fitting for the Malchus. The Sefer Chasdei David has a different approach. His approach is as follows. He says there's a difference between a melech, between a melech who left a number of sons versus a melech who left only one son. A melech who left only one son, that son becomes king automatically. And that's not what our Gemara, that's not whom our Gemara is speaking about. Only, he says, a melech who left over a number of sons. So yes, the meluch is going to go to a son, but there are a number of sons. That's who our Gemara says that until he was officially appointed and installed, then and only then he's the melech. But there's a very famous Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is in the Shalos Tshuvos Chassam Sofer. Oyre Chaim, Simen Yud Beis, and Simen Yud Gimel. What the Chassam Sofer says, from here we see that just because somebody is a king doesn't mean that he should be automatically appointed for the king, to be the melech. He has to be worthy. And just because he's the melech by melech doesn't mean he's king until he's worthy and indeed is appointed to that position.